I wanted to investigate how immersive technology is changing the landscape of media and creative production. It's a rapidly emerging technology with a vast number of tools and concepts, breaking down a huge, rapidly changing industry, and taking an overview on a subject as complex as disability and access is no easy feat. I interviewed an amazing collection of accessibility champions from grassroots theater to major film producers. I've even gotten some chat from the telly. My opinion: accessibility is often used as a buzzword, but the reality of creating access opportunity needs real investment of people and finance, and it frequently and very often doesn't happen. Accessibility definition: of being reached or obtained easily. The accessibility definition culturally and in terms of work and economy means having jobs, centers, institutions, education and economic routes open and accessible to all regardless of disability. Interviews on accessibility in arts, media and immersive technology. I'm going to open with Shape Arts commentary. I feel it addresses the issues that are most significant. Shape Arts, innovating accessibility, championing disabled creatives. Shape Arts modeled their work on the social model of disability, in which disabled individuals aren't the problem, but the barriers society presents to disabled people are. I got their perspective here. Emerging immersive technologies have the potential to break down barriers for disabled audiences by offering an expanded, multi-sensory experience of culture in place of more traditional modes of engagement like seeing art or listening to sonic work, providing new and innovative pathways into an artist's project. It also has the capacity to bridge the gap between in-place and online delivery by generating shared experiences and encounters between the two, helping to connect with audiences with different needs and preferences and affording greater flexibility to the artist as well. However, though the potential for greater accessibility is there, it will only succeed if these technologies are used thoughtfully and not taken for granted. The audience's journey from encounter through to experience must still be considered from an access perspective, and this may not always be enhanced with the latest technology. Effective access provision cannot be one size fits all. If we rush into relying upon emerging technologies to do the work of making culture accessible, we run the risk of overlooking the fact that there is, today, still much work to be done to remove barriers that stem from attitudinal and structural inequities, which technology cannot resolve alone. Shape Arts highlight digital exclusion and barriers to education. Digital exclusion and barriers to education may mean that these new experiences, those which utilize immersive technology to enhance cultural offerings, still only connect with audiences who are already culturally engaged and included. Those already excluded or isolated will, in effect, move down another rung in the cultural ladder. If we make assumptions about the benefits of technology without sensitivity to pre-existing barriers to access, for example, many new technologies being used within cultural settings take for granted that people have smartphones or the latest upgrades which afford them access to the work on display. To say nothing of the fact that these necessary intermediary devices may themselves present barriers to access for many. Channel 4. In the years I've worked in media, I've seen many changes, and recently, there is more focus on diversity and inclusion. I got Nicole Steven, Disability and Creative Diversity Manager from Channel 4, to give us an overview of how the media environment has been for those trying to access work. How has the employment landscape been changing for disabled media employees at Channel 4 in the last 5 years? Following the release of the underlying health condition report and Jack Thorne's McTaggart speech, it has become evident that there is a pressing need for change in the industry. The TV Access Project has made significant strides, with broadcasters and streamers committing to achieving full inclusion for disabled talent by 2030. However, there are still many challenges to address before this can become a reality. Each of the broadcasters and streamers participating in the TV Access Project are involved in work streams that focus on progress and shaping future initiatives. Promising changes and developments have emerged from these work streams already, which will soon become industry standards. As an industry, with the help of disability advocates and the work of TAP and commitments from the industry, we are witnessing significant changes, but there is still a long way to go. How could things be better for disabled individuals wanting to work in TV in the wider industry? Accessibility is key for disabled talent to work equitably and progress in our industry. We have various initiatives for our Channel 4 shows that help us establish more accessible spaces for our talent. We provide guidance to productions on creating accessible production spaces, securing funding for reasonable adjustments, and offering advice on hiring, including in advancing disabled talent. These initiatives are in place to ensure that our disabled talent feel reassured and confident when working on our productions. Do you have any ideas on how new immersive technology might make media careers accessible? I will be honest, I'm not so knowledgeable when it comes to tech. I'm sure, however, over the next few years, we will see so much change when it comes to how tech can create greater accessibility in our industry. As with almost everything, disabled people need to be included in the conversation. With the famous saying, "Nothing about us without us," we need to see disabled voices in senior positions when this technology is being created, so we can get that other point of view. Without that lived experience, we won't ever see those great leaps in accessibility within our industry. Distortion Studios. I wanted to look at film studios and networks and give some personal insight. For those starting off in media careers, or making a career pivot, something being offered is bursaries to conventions and conferences. I was lucky enough to get a Creative Cities convention ticket. The event put thought into accessibility. It was in a fully accessible building. The organizers were willing to provide extra access support. There was a quiet room and good staff sign posting and signage. The team at the immersive studios were putting consideration into access from the get-go and willing to make adjustments as they develop. Distortion Studios is a new Bristol-based immersive studio at the forefront of modern media, creative production tech, and working with productions from LA to Singapore. They have a ginormous LED screen. They can produce work that isn't reliant on travel to locations, which is a great consideration for making productions both more accessible and sustainable. They are making accessibility a focus, which is cutting edge, but in my humble opinion, something all companies and organizations should be doing. I was invited to Distortion Studios' launch. At the event, I met Jonathan Brigden, whose studio's projects have won multiple awards, and we chatted about access. He says, "I run a studio called Studio Giggle and another company called Distortion Studios. Both organizations are in essence in the creative industry. One's a virtual production specialist film studio, and one's a content-driven event company. The creative industries are famously inaccessible, in many, many ways, cultural, ethnic, socioeconomic background, and through disability as well. And I think, especially in the creative industry, a lot of neurodiversity is quite common. So, we have a very neurodiverse team, and so that's the main kind of engagement we have with disability. We've been building this new studio, and been trying to make it as accessible as possible, and so far been very successful. For instance, with this building, it did transpire that, because of the way it's built, we ended up with a pinch point, and so had to remove the door, because as the door opened, literally that amount of space meant that a chair couldn't get through." Jonathan put me in touch with practitioners he'd worked with on a project for more detail on how the process works: Reese Miles Thomas and Paula Burke. Reese Miles Thomas is an accessibility expert and pioneer working with producer Paul Burke, and they have been shooting a highly ambitious film for disabled crew and actors. They also produced a report on disability in the film industry for Wales. Reese described the film as a sci-fi mix. People have been exiled to faraway planets and they have to come back, find their way back to Earth. But when they do, they come back as children and they live their lives again. So in the excerpt you've seen, parts of the main character is a prisoner on a faraway planet, and he's trying to find a way to come back. We had some money for a report last year on how accessibility can be improved for DDN, deaf, disabled, neurodivergent people through virtual production, which is where everything is in the studio and on LED screen. And so people wouldn't have to travel, go abroad. They can do it in their locale and still take an active, important part in things, not just at the level of a runner or a junior, but as well as heads of department. The impetus for it started about 20 years ago. I was an actor working in American television, and we did a production of Jason and the Argonauts out in Turkey. And one of the days we were filming was on top of a mountain, which could only be accessed by helicopter. At the time I was able-bodied and so I could do it. Now I'm in a wheelchair and there's no chance on earth that I'd ever be able to. So I was selfishly thinking, nowadays, was there a way now based on technology today, I'd be able to do a production like that without having the hindrance of the barriers of an able-bodied world? Paul is a big VFX producer, and he had been working remotely a lot because of COVID. And he was saying, "Have you looked at things like virtual production?" And I never had, and so we both teamed up, did this report, and found that, yes, if we can prove that actually we can produce the same quality of content without the barriers, but also without going, "Ah, well, bless them, we'll give them a half-cut thing just because they're disabled," that sort of pity, which we all find at some point. We want to be able to compete at the highest level, with the standard at the highest level. So, we worked on a test shoot in July with one studio. and we are going on to do a piece for a different production, but with multiple locations across the UK, multiple studios, since despite us doing everything to help and make it accessible, it still meant people had to travel. We know the technology works, but now can we make it as accessible as we possibly can? And we found, well, if we have studios in the locale of people, then they've got all their amenities. Home comforts are important. If I have to go to a hotel, it's a nightmare because everything has to be exactly set up, but inevitably it never is. Working hard on a day, you want that home comfort, you want that security around you, and so can we offer that? That's what we are trying to do. List Council. Grassroots, community and smaller scale productions are vital to a healthy cultural infrastructure. I interviewed Liz Council, who is executive producer at Dandaw Creative Projects and familiar with independent theater and disability. She produces as a freelancer, consults and has personal experience of disability with a condition affecting energy and pain, and is neurodivergent. I asked how immersive technology could break some barriers to accessibility. It would be amazing if we could use VR in our pre-show access sessions. What we normally do is take someone into the theater and show them the brightest lights and the loudest sound before the show, but with VR we could do this anywhere. They could make an informed decision on whether the show was accessible to them without actually coming into the space. I also asked her about the challenges of using immersive technologies such as VR or LED immersive screens to create access to her productions. Cost. We are currently exploring immersive tech, spatial sound, in our new show, but what we want to do hasn't been done before to the best of our knowledge, and it's proving inhibitively expensive. Laud Emanuer. I caught up with Laud Emanuer at Pervasive Media, a hub for creatives with a remit to support neurodivergent and disabled practitioners, and got these sound bites on his role and the studio and residence. I manage the administrative environment of the studio and connect the studio to the wider building team at the Watershed, and manage a lot of scheduling and calendars across the team as well, but every day is different, a lot of physical stuff, physical support for residents and admin support as well. We try and provide a space whereby the right questions are asked and so things become more accessible across the industries. So as an example, things like applying for funding can be difficult for people with certain cognitions, certain diverse needs, so trying to connect them to people to give them the right support for that. Caroline. One of the things that is part of the residency here is you provide some desk space and a place to work. And my experience as someone who has some access needs is the socioeconomics of the industry, where being able to access private desk space is a barrier. So in that way you've got a network and a shared workspace. Have you seen any new or emerging technology, or do you have any ideas on how tech today can help people? I think one of the main things is community, isn't it? You have such a range of tools that connect you to other people, be that social media, or things where you have niche communities like Reddit or Discord. And a lot of communities have a specific focus, be that immersive arts or TV or gaming. And usually that is a way of helping people engage more with that kind of stuff. So, if you can't easily leave your house, you may be able to get access to like-minded people through that. Caroline, I guess one of the things that I think as a resident that the studio does well is the hub of expertise. You do see that in the studio, there's such a vibrant and diverse network of people that you have here, that really are from all kinds of walks of life. There's this real cross-pollination, which provides a realistic look at the industry and who can and can't access it. My perspective. I've loved writing this article. I got into this subject due to challenges in my career pathway, and amazing things have grown out of these connections. The change-making we are bringing about as a collective to strengthen and diversify a rich industry. Working in TV, media, arts and education since I began my career. Recently I've begun a pivot into immersive arts. I saw VR's huge potential and wishing to learn about cross-sector immersive. I applied for an opportunity at Pervasive Media Studios at the Watershed with my world. I got to experience some new VR experiences pre-release and take a look at the limitations of the medium in a group of artists and researchers, all with access needs. Realizing I loved it, I began to look for funding and paid opportunities that might meet my needs for a job or to enhance my freelance portfolio. For me, finding an adaptable, accessible employer who can offer a sustainable career package has been very difficult. Employment and cultural engagement statistics back this is a common experience of career and cultural exclusion. Disabled people often make up a low proportion of those in employment and also audiences, despite 20% of working-age adults having a disability. This rises to 40% plus at retirement age. The shocker, did you know disclosing you have disability as you apply for a job reduces your chance of even getting a call back by 50%? Why? Disabled people are equal in talent and ability and are often unique and innovative, bringing fresh perspectives. I prefer differently abled as a descriptor rather than disabled. There is plenty of ability, but access and adjustments and training and kit to even have experience are needed. Exclusion starts early. As Shape Arts mentioned, most disability exclusion is systemic. It's in the systems and hidden barriers, and unfortunately sometimes prejudice or deliberate discrimination. But mostly I find it's in the systems, the forever catch-22s, the paperwork and misunderstanding from organizations and employers. I turn towards arts funding as a necessity. I want to be engaged and do something long-term as a career that I like, where quality of life feels good and is adaptable for health challenges. I am highly qualified with broad and specialist experience. What I've found is that it's hard to break in, and that while there are many conversations about access, the reality rarely meets up, and disabled people are only allowed to peek in before the door shuts in our faces again. Which brings us back to Shape Arts and their summary of the barriers being structural and social, and that people are disabled by society. I think access is very poorly understood, and it's only those working against the odds and trying really hard, and budgeting for it, that are changing things for the better. I've had the same conversations about access for over 10 years, and finally some companies are beginning to do the very basic seg, adapting interviews and formats with flex for deadlines for those living with extra health challenges, and creating some adaptive work tech environments. I will say, on the My World opportunity, I was introduced to a full and thought out access offer. That was brilliant. Finding follow-up for this project was tough. It is a developing industry and it's a transitional time for everyone in it right now, disability or no disability. With disability you are pushing back against some horrendous exclusion statistics though. It took me 6 months to get some research funding, and that stipulated I couldn't salary myself. I took it as a study opportunity whilst I pivot and grow. I struggled to find a paid opportunity to continue working in this area. And finding out about opportunities has been hard, with most grants processes inaccessible to me, ridiculously competitive, requiring long arduous unpaid hours. The inaccessible application processes contributed to a media industry favorite, light burnout. I've lobbied to change these access points and had success. Part of what I do in media and immersive is music composition and installation. Always the warrior, I've liaised with several key music organizations. Sorry for the long, very annoyed emails, everyone, but I got the job done. And have contributed to improved grant application processes at Help Musicians, PRS Foundation, Sound and Music and Producer Gathering. It is always worth speaking up and advocating. Organizations will listen and help. They aren't always understanding the systemic barriers and why they're there, and are usually under time and budget pressure themselves. They are up against huge demands outstripping their resource and every disabled person's friend. Government targets, insert sarcasm here. The mentoring opportunity through My World from my research award helped me gain confidence for a startup. But funding to startup in the wider industry is hard to find, and if you are from the socio-economic disadvantaged demographic, it's about 1 million times tougher. As everyone wants you to have a shiny website and prototypes and kit to even get a grant or match funding or ability to cash flow a grant upfront. Catch 22, you need some investment to create these things. Money loves money, and if you don't have any, most startup grants aren't accessible to you. Please don't shut us out. Please don't give us hours of unpaid labor with lengthy inaccessible processes. Please give us some deadline flex when we have met a disability-related challenge. Honestly, a firm project or paid offer has been difficult to track down. Persistence is my middle name though. Many disabled practitioners find themselves in insecure or unsustainable work. We need an ecosystem that includes us and stays with us. Secure working conditions and career satisfaction, as well as cultural experiences such as theater, museums, TV and immersive that includes and welcomes us, all of us, and will design specific accessible experiences. Complex, yes, but I believe in you, industry and creators, we are all in the conversation. Can immersive technology create accessibility opportunity and a more inclusive work and cultural landscape? Yes, if it's combined with totally reimagining and restructuring the cultural and social systems too. What I find exciting is the reimagining and the collection of trailblazers and innovators doing it.